Sunday Lunch. Sunday Lunch with your favourite Essex boy, Tony Smith. Tony Smith. On Phoenix 98 FM.
Welcome to the show, Eddie Webber. Hello, fella.
Hello, Tony. How are you, mate?
Welcome to Essex.
Thank you.
And the Sunday Lunch Show, of course. Actor, writer, creator of the recently new internet series, Power to the People. But
that's a nice title, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But before we touch on that, you were born and bred in Bermondsey, South East London.
Yeah.
What made you want to be an actor?
Well, it's a long story, really.
It wasn't by chance, because you trained at Morley College and London Bubble Theatre, so...
Well, it was by chance, really. I mean, I got to... the age of 22, 23 and just was a little bit bored with how my life was going, really, being brought up round sort of 1970s comprehensive South East London sort of thing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't very many outlets with regards to the arts sort of thing, so I'd done a bit of travelling. I went and lived in Israel for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I joined a band in Israel. I got slung off a kibbutz that I was on. I won't tell you why, but... And then I joined a little band out there, started messing about in a little band out there, was gigging, living with some Israelis and whatnot, so I ended up staying out there. And when I come back to London, I formed another band, but I was so in front of the people that I was forming the band in Bermondsey with,
yep.
I was going, yeah, come on, let's get famous, let's get blah, 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 and they couldn't deal with that, so the band folded up, and so I just walked into the London Bubble one day and said, look, I want to be an actor. What do I do? And he said, come upstairs, we're workshopping. And that is a long story to that.
But your career spans two decades, really.
Yeah.
I was looking on the internet. You've been in Parts in the Bill, London's Burning, Casualty, Birds of a Feather, some of the 80s
yeah.
stuff. The new series of Lock Stock, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was on
Channel
chaps,
4, yeah.
Yeah, I remember one of the chaps who were in it, who used to live local, actually. Right through to the bigger films.
The Business, The Firm.
Was you in Shifty?
I was in Shifty, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Big Fat, what was the other one? Big Fat
Gypsy Gangster with an EastEnder, Ricky Grover out of Canning Town.
Yeah, classic.
Buller.
Where did you get your first big break, though? Where did it all start, going back to the Bill and some of the early ones? Is that where you got your first break?
Well, I mean, I was in them days, you could do a lot of telly because there was no reality TV in them days, you know, and you had to have an equity card.
Mm-hmm.
So there was enough jobs going around, whereas today, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry
can go
and just get a job. But years ago, you couldn't do anything unless you had an equity card, you know, and to get an equity card from where I come from was just absolutely crazy, you know. You had to stand up in pubs and juggle and play acoustic guitars and...
Is the London accent type of parts the bits you like?
Well
suited for you, obviously.
Well, you know, it's horses for courses, really. You know, although, you know, I've played Macbeth, but they named it Macbeth with two Fs, so...
Like Southend.
Yeah. So I suppose, you know, if you're a bricklayer, you don't sort of make cabinets, do you?
No.
You do what you do. What you can
there was
do,
a lot of that type of material going around back then, the gangster films, some of the older films.
Yeah.
Some of the... Michael Caine got involved in some of them with that type of style.
Yeah.
And then on the sitcoms as well, they always have some sort of Cockney theme.
Of course they do.
Well, I think that's making a bit more of a comeback. That...
Well, let's hope so, eh? Because... You know, at the moment, I think you look at Sky TV or whatever, and there's a million and one channels, and a million of them channels are all reality shows. You know, the people are just coming off the street and sort of, you know, how many times can you burp in an hour?
Yeah,
sort of thing, and it sort of took the profession away, sort of thing. You know, so. I mean, there's a lot of good writers out there, and there's a lot of good actors out there, but it's just, it's not viable anymore,
no,
you know.
No.
This is why we've done Power to the People, really, to try and get some old school, I don't know, comedy, if you like, and political satire, really.
Let's move on to Power of the People project, PAP, as we call it, the People's Advocate Party.
People's Advocate Party,
it's six miniseries.
Yeah.
Without giving the plot line away too much, I know I've seen it, so how would you kind of describe the series?
Well, it's basically about a character called Mickey Tobin that was working on a building site, or, well, he's a subcontractor on a building site, and before that he had a successful building firm, and because of this economical crisis that happened, the banks drew in all his money and he lost all his business, so he went from sort of leafy suburbia to a little flat in Bermondsey, and it just... He has an epiphany whilst reading a local paper.
This is one of the series that's called that, isn't it? The
first
epiphany.
Episode, The Epiphany. Yeah. And he's sort of... He's looking at the paper about this big new council construction. And everyone's lying. The MP of the area is lying, and the building contractors are lying. And he just sort of... Something just twigs, and he just says, right, you know, let's... What we need, which we really do need now anyway, is people to speak for the people at some point, you know, because it's getting crazy with regards to democracy. You know, we're very naive as a people if we feel that there's a democratic society going on within the upper echelons of politics or whatever, because people just saying do what they want to do, as you know, in the news at the moment, you know, these people are saying all these things and
nothing in them.
And I think more Britain than on the continent, you know, we become quite complacent, you know, and everyone should write a letter, you know, everyone should try and do something about this. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to sort of get the people together within regards of this little series, so, you know, click on YouTube and give it a little hit, and just as a protest, really, just for working class people to just say, look, hey, you know, we can do something about it if we unite.
It's a great start, because I like that start, because you got the especially who's the chap who's scoffing the pot noodle.
He's an actor called Aidan J. David. He's a lovely kid. He was in Grange Hill for years.
That's fantastic, because he looked like really enjoying it as well. I mean, it probably was.
Well,
his
he was. It was about his seventh one, and it was just absolutely vile.
Let's have a quick listen to this. If you keep pushing a man, one day the man's gonna push you back. Just your plans and give you the sack. The people are starving for a revocation, emancipation, power to the people. Great track.
Yeah.
It's a great track.
That was composed by...
that was what I was going to ask you, actually.
Yeah, by a guy called Tramper Price, who is a great friend. He used to have a band called Glider. His dad is he's the saxophone player of the Rolling Stones, the Price, Dave, I can't remember, I'm not silly saying, but yeah, no, he was great. I phoned him up and said, look, you know, we're doing this little series, we need a theme tune. And he went, he said, great, because his favourite programmes are Minder and...
Who sung his own theme tune?
Yeah, exactly. And Tramper come with that, and it was just absolutely perfect. So we're hoping that we can start getting a little app to make that into a ringtone.
Who's the chap on the? I'll just break from the script quickly, because there's a part in the episode 3 or 4, I can't remember, where you hit the streets and this busker starts singing.
Steve Diggle.
And you start going, that's the wrong track, mate, or something like that. And he's off he goes. And
Steve Diggle, that is. That's the guitarist out the Buzzcocks.
All right. Yeah. Because it's a classic, and there's lots of little pop up bits. Now you wrote, starred, and produced in the series. You told us how you come up with the series, but you've got some great actors and no talent in there. I mean, you've got, for instance, we've got Jeff Bell, who plays Terry. Fantastic, been in lots of the films. Danny Dyer, well, it does make me laugh, because I watched him on Celebrity Juice the other day, and it's
well,
so funny.
Well, you know, Danny, what we wanted to do with Danny, we just wanted him to not...
Be Danny. That's the funny part about it.
And he's come up with a stonking little character in it. He's got a weird fetish.
You kind of see him there, and in the series, and he the first part's quite quiet, and he just when you expect him to go, what's going on? Like, he breaks into this kind of, you have to watch it. I won't give too much away. I've got another little clip. Let's play this one quickly.
What's that?
That. Well, that is our future.
I ain't wearing that.
What's the matter with you? Saved us an absolute fortune. Ain't cost us a tenner. I got them off Mr. Ganesh.
It's pink, purple and brown, Tell.
Of course he's talking about the rosette.
Our rosette, yeah. I've give Terry a... when, if you look at the series, you'll see the sort of person Terry is in it, Jeff Bell's character. He's always doing things on the cheap. He's always sort of... He's got a little contact here and a little contact there. Playing against my character, who's straight down the line, you know. He wants to do something for the people. And he comes back with a rosette, and it's completely different to the rosette I wanted. And it come back pink, purple and brown, which... You know, as that clip explains.
And we'll be talking about how you can get those later on. Roland Mancunian.
Manukian,
is that what it is?
Yeah.
He plays Arthur.
Arthur.
You worked with him, haven't you?
We've done the business together,
business.
And there's a couple of little things that all us actors have all sort of... It's quite incestuous, really, in as much as the working class South London actors... You know, we Nick Love was the one that brought us all together, really.
Yeah, because you also worked with Layla, who's just been on... she was in Big Fat Gypsy Gangster,
yeah.
Just come out of the jungle, of course.
She's just come out of the jungle, yeah. It's a shame, really. She got out so early.
Yeah, I thought she was going to stay in there longer, but then this year it has a bit of a... You know, I mean, they're all the...
Well, it's like the Roman... gladiators, what do they call it? The Colosseum.
Yeah.
You know, entertain us or go or die, you know. So I suppose the most entertaining ones sort of live for another day, don't they?
Johnny played Benny the Shirt.
Palmerio, yeah. He's an East End boy, yeah.
He's on Ken Loach's It's a Free World.
That's correct.
So you managed to gather these actors... I mean, Layla's part was, again, not like Layla would normally play.
Of course, yeah.
Did she play the mum or the nan?
Nan, yeah. Just fantastic. Have you got the clip of the...
Let's see if I've got the clip. I've got a couple of clips. Let's start with this clip.
You're a good boy, Arthur.
I'm Peter.
The gardens ain't like they used to be. Flowers. Die too fast.
Yeah, I noticed.
It makes me laugh.
I know, it was coming, so. But, I mean, she must have been great sport doing that, but it's because it's just not like something you'd expect her to do, so I was in hysterics over it.
Well, the good thing was about it, really, it was nice to have that sort of... stock of known actors to be able to call them, really, to come in and try and turn the stereotype.
I suppose
really.
You work with them, it's easier for them to get involved. Were they happy to... obviously, they're happy to get involved.
Of course they were, you know. They come in and give their time for free, you know. It was lovely. Because, they, again, you know, it frustrates me sometimes because we're such a powerful nation, you know. We went through all this stuff for the last 100 years, and the normal working class people are the people that got us through all this sort of stuff. And it's almost like, you know, the governments that are around now have stuck a lump of bromide in the in the water supply, you know, where everyone's sort of quite... Well, I don't know if it's bromide or Valium or something, just to keep people down. But there's an opportunity now, because I feel that these people, all these people in power, are making bizarre statements, and they're blatantly lying, you know, and they're blatantly trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. So with little projects like this, Power to the People, you know, if we can get people hitting our series and get 200,000-300,000 hits, it puts us in a position of negotiation when it comes to people power, you know, because, you know, if there's 200,000 people hitting you over the place, you know, that means that there's something there. And we can... What we'd like to do with it is... Channel 4 sitting with it at the moment, you know, making another decision when they choose to make that decision to turn it into a series. So I'd like to write 10 half hour episodes of a series where we do get Danny Dyer as Prime Minister, you know.
Fantastic.
And we're his cabinet.
He's got a new film out as well, hasn't he? What's the
Vendetta. Yeah, it's a lovely little movie. Yeah, I've just finished another movie with him called Assassins with Brothers, the two.
I see the two brothers tweeting it. So I knew it was coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, but can I tell you where to get this part of the people?
We're going
to
come on to it soon.
Oh, are you? Lovely.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get a track on. I'm going to play something for the 80s quickly, because it's something I never play. We'll
what are you going to play?
Specials, Gangsters.
Oh, nice.
Have a bit of that. You've got to do it. 121, Phoenix FM, listen to Sunday Lunch.
Six boy, Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm not the famous Essex boy anymore because it's now Joe Essex is there and Steve Davis is there.
No, you're still the famous.
I don't know. Do you know Steve Davis puts here? Does a show Monday. So he's a Phoenix FM presenter. Yeah.
Oh,
Monday night, yeah, Phoenix FM. I'll Steve Davis. Let's go back to the series. We're talking off air a little bit because we're going to talk about you can buy these rosettes and t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah. Well, what we're doing, we've put a website together because, again, you know, we're really, really trying to make this a people thing, a normal people thing where no industry is involved in it apart from a collective unity from people on the street sort of thing. So we've put this little website up and we're selling Power to the People t-shirts. Amazing little images on it, fantastic little images, and all the money is going to go to make further episodes of Power to the People, if Channel 4 don't, or even if they do, we'll still go ahead with things. And also, there's a little bit goes to charity as well. We've got a children's charity involved and help the aged, you know, because all these poor old people that they reckon is that, you know, there's an element of old people that are going to die this Christmas because they're cold, you
yeah,
know.
Ridiculous.
And this government, it was quite funny, really. I was listening to the radio the other day and I got, it weren't road rage, it was political rage, really. That they're talking about spending 50 odd million or whatever the figure was to put immigrant representatives in supermarkets, right?
Yeah.
Because people can't speak English, and they go to a supermarket, and there's going to be representatives in supermarkets to teach these people English.
Yeah, a bit of a waste of cash.
And there's old ladies and old men dying for basic warmth, you know what I mean? You've got the energy.
So the series has got a political message. Was that the idea from the start, was to have a, I mean, it's a political message, but I mean there's so many one-liners in there. I mean, it's kind of political meets comedy, kind
yeah.
of, so to speak.
Well, we just wanted to be vociferous in as much as, you know, everybody thinks these things. What would I do if I was in power? Well, I'd do this if I was in power, and I'd do that, and I'd do this.
It's an interesting question to throw around the pub when you're in there, wouldn't it? If you just say, what would you do if, you know, everyone's going to come out saying
that little
silly stuff, some
the
people,
little thing with Robbie G, you know, that little thing where he says, well, you know, I'll get quick fit in.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll paint the walls a different colour.
I'll paint the walls a different colour and things like that. But we just wanted to try and bring to light how difficult it really is to make that stance. And
yeah.
you can't make that stance unless you've got the people behind you yeah. anyway. And we're all working class people, you know. There's no sort of swells involved in what we're doing or anything.
I mean, you've obviously got a massive cast. If you went on to series 7, 8, or in the future, would you use some of the people who've already been in it? Would you bring
Layla
back,
everyone's
Danny Dyer back?
Yes, absolutely. You know, everyone's it. We've got things in store for every single character in there, because we're trying to put together a Christmas special at the moment where the PAP get entwined in Margate with a Russian mafia spying.
It's one of my questions I was going to ask you, actually. How's the Christmas special coming on?
Well, again, it's funding, you know. We can't, because this was all self-funded, these episodes. And I mean, we had a bit of help from a guy called John Devlin, who owns the Cross Keys in Covent Garden,
yep.
a pub. He helped us out. But a lot of it was all self-funded. So, you know, this is why we put this website together, to try and just do it in-house, really, do everything in-house. So we're not, you go to Channel 4, you know, and they say, right, we want to put a writer with you. And then all of a sudden they put this sort of Oxford graduate, you know, who's got a writing degree, to sit and write for us sort of people.
Yeah, can't be done.
It can't be done, because there's a subtext and an idiom around,
yeah, you know, around
the lingo. You know, it's not what's coming out, it's what's being thought before it comes out,
you know, only fools had that little bit.
Well, exactly, because it was an EastEnder who wrote that, you know, Sullivan.
You know the joke before it's come out, but that doesn't make it less funny, it makes it more funny.
Well, of course, you know, and it's... You know, you've got in the thick of it at the moment, and a couple of other political, Yesminster and all that, but that all comes from a middle-class perspective. We wanted to try and write something from a working-class perspective, you know. Not saying that the working class is... But, they, you know, we're the biggest voice.
Mm-hmm.
We're the majority, you know.
Tell us quickly, because we kind of go back a little bit, because we missed the part I was going to talk about. A good idea, which is the company that you're using to promote this and film it. The filming was done by Ravensbourne University, you use students for that, which is a great learning curve for them.
Yeah.
That's your company, and this project is the umbrella of that?
Yes, it's a company that we'd like to give a platform for new writers, new actors, new filmmakers, to be able to work with professional actors that have been in the business for 20, 30 years, you know, and just, again, there's no hidden agendas or anything. It's just that's what we're all about, you know. Even as an established actor of 20 years, you know, it's still very, very difficult to find some work. So these young kids now that are coming out of drama school and all these, they're led into such a false sense of security in as much as they're told they can do this. Yeah, you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way. And when they come out, there's no jobs.
Yeah.
So they get disillusioned. So all the 10 grand that they've been paid for their education and all that, they're just being led up the garden path. So we want to try and give a platform to, you know, new filmmakers, new writers and new artists, really.
Yeah. Cool.
To mix in, you know.
I'm going to play Jane's taking photos of us, look. We've been papped, Eddie. We've
papped.
Been papped. Yeah.
Papped.
Have a listen to this. We can laugh. We can laugh.
We are being papped, actually. We are being papped. You know, there's about 200 people in this room, you know, all with rosettes on. It's unbelievable. It's like the TARDIS, this studio.
We can laugh now because we're going to hear something they can't hear, because when the mic's up, they can't hear. But yeah. Have a listen to this.
Angelique. Right, so... Now, I'm not going to lie to you because I don't lie in general anyway, but, you know, this has been a really, it's been a real tough one, this. I've put my neck on the line and I've spoken to a very good friend of mine over in allocation.
I'm so grateful, Mr. Cannon.
No, listen, you, I believe, you know, we all do, that you and your newborn, you deserve a chance, and, you know...
Oh, what's coming out of
you can't
it.
Believe that's Danny Dyer, can you?
Well, no, you can't, you know, and do you know, it's very rare you get close-ups. When you get close-ups when you're filming, you know, a close-up is just a little boom, boom, in-out, mixing between the two shots. But we just left it on Danny because he just...
Yeah.
And it's
was he laughing? I would have been... Was anyone in the background going...
We did have a couple of outtakes.
He's got his suit on.
Yeah.
And you have to see it to be able to understand what's actually happening there.
Yeah.
Because someone's in front of him that this is that happens a bit. Like, won't spoil it, but you have to actually see the program. It is
I like the pie mash shot in episode 5. I love the pie mash one.
Oh, yeah.
Five. That's my favourite one.
This is my favourite clip. I'm going to play it now. And the funny thing is we can get away with this because no one will... Because they can't see it visually, yeah. They probably won't understand what's going on. But I'll dip the volume so the people out here can listen.
Hello, Pi. Pi, we're campaigning on behalf of the People's Advocate Party. Yeah, can we count on your vote?
You're joking, and you're having a trade.
Sorry, Brian.
Hurry up, Brian, love.
I'm still
balancing
on the table.
I'll be there in a bit, sweet.
Yeah, Brian.
Listen. You don't see me, yeah?
All right, Brian.
Yeah, Brian.
I say it was a funny thing.
Do you know what that was probably the best bit for me, because the Italian who speaks
Johnny
Italian
Palmero, yeah.
When no one's there, he speaks the English, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's great because in future episodes we've got this on Big Brian. Andy Linden's character is the local gangster, and so we've got this on him all the time.
Yeah.
Because he's a closeted.
Who plays that? Who's the main man on that one? The one opens the door is
Andy Linden.
Andy Linden, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great comedian, you know.
Yeah.
He was in Big Fat Gypsy Gangster, the Harry Potter movies,
yeah.
And all that. Yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Did it take much twisting of his arm to play that part?
No, you know, again, it's there's nepotism involved in this, so it's everyone's mates, you know, so they was more than willing to come in and do it, you know. The only thing, yeah, there was other things planned for him, but it was a little bit too naughty, because we wanted to try and make something that, you know, nans can watch with their grandchildren and things like that. There's no swearing in it, you know. No. There's no gratuitous sex acts in it at all. So it's just
mostly
clean.
And like that clip, if you don't, you know, you'll either understand parts of it or you won't. But it's kind of like innuendos, what the old comedy used to be.
Yeah, it's innuendous. Yeah, absolutely. It's there, but it's not there, sort of thing. You can work it out yourself, and that's the beauty of what we're doing. You know, I think you ram things down people's throat too much, then there's no fun in it.
No.
It's like Fools and Horses. You always knew that Del Boy was up to something, you know, but he never told you what he was up to, and it was revealed.
Yeah, yeah. Right, we're going to come back and talk to you about writing. But first, I'm going to play something which actually, this track was off The Business, Duran Duran.
Great tune.
Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Do you have a family member that's in need of care? Have you thought about care planning? A slip or a fall this winter can cause a care crisis. Visit The Beeches, our stunning new care and nursing home at London Road, Brentwood. Keep warm, keep well, and visit The Beeches.
Join me, Mel Watson, every Wednesday evening, 7 till 8 on Phoenix 98 FM. Each week, I'll be chatting to an expert about how you can change your body for the better. From cosmetic surgery to karate, from Reiki to reflexology. Whether it's an alternative therapy or doctor's advice you need, you'll find it all in Body Talk, the show that could change your life. Brought to you in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital.
The days are getting shorter and temperatures are starting to drop, a sure sign that winter's on its way. Soon the frost, ice and maybe even the snow will be back. But did you know, when temperatures fall below 7 degrees, normal tyres can harden, reducing grip. Winter tyres, however, retain flexibility and grip right down to around minus 15. Improve your stopping distance and pull away grip by fitting winter tyres now with skid marks. We have winter tyres to suit all budgets, so are you ready for winter? Don't leave it until it's too late. Call the Winter Tyre Specialists, Skidmarks, now on 01277 210 414.
Hey, have you seen what's going on at the White Horse, Coxty Green Road, Brentwood? Apart from having 10 real ales on draft and a great menu, they hold quiz nights, live band and comedy nights, open mic nights and much, much more. Larger events are staged in the White Horse Marquee throughout the year. Check the events guide at phoenixfm.com for details or phone Brentwood 372 410 for details and bookings. For a great night out, it's the White Horse, of course.
Welcome back. I'm joined with Eddie Webber. Power to people. We're talking PAP at the moment. We're just about to talk about the writing side, because he was writing as a teenager. You said you wrote some songs. You was writing for the band.
Yeah.
But now you've been doing, you're doing quite a bit of writing nowadays.
Well, yeah, I am. But it's really hard work, because I'm sort of chronically dyslexic as well. So it's I mean, I've got all the ideas, but it's a painful procedure for me to write. But yeah, I've just written this other little movie as well that's being looked at, about the old days of hopping.
Yeah,
the hop fields of Kent.
Gone Hopping, that is.
Gone Hopping, yeah.
And Tough Tracks is the other one, yeah?
Tough Tracks is a little sort of gangster movie, but which I hope has got a little bit of intelligence around it. Basically about an Al-Qaeda cell, terrorist cell, that's been chased by MI6 and CIA. But there's a South London gangster just caught up in the middle of it. Unbeknownst to him, there's something going on. And then there's another little twist with another character that walked into it. So it's just this little jaunt around the English prisons and Spain.
Yeah.
It's a really nice little piece. But the hopping one's beautiful. It's basically a little love story between two 14-year-old kids. It starts off at a funeral, and then when they go back for the wake, the granddaughter of the man who's just been buried goes up in the loft and finds a secret diary. And every time she reads the diary, that brings her back into the 1950s of the Opfields of Kent.
Yeah, sounds pretty cool.
With a tragedy in the
end. You putting picture those as films or for TV series or a bit of both?
Well, the Tough Tracks one we're pitching for films, and it's sitting on a couple of desks. And the Hopping one, I actually see it as a nice little Darling Buds of May Sunday night sort of thing. Again, there's no swearing in it, you know, it's a nice little... And I wanted to write something because our culture's going now, you know, even our dialect, what they call the Cockney language and the Cockney dialect, is being replaced now by this new dialect, you know, this sort of Americanized, I don't know, you know, there's a profanity there somewhere. But people, when I was young, when I was 15, 16, we used to, as yourself, Tony, you talk in slang, you know, you talk like that, but now it seems to be
you're having a bubble.
Yeah, exactly, you know, I mean, them sort of, that's out the window
got
now.
Got any loopy loop? If you go to one of those soup places and say, got any loopy loop, they say, sorry,
they go, soup. You know, it's you're a wicked man, and you know, and you're like, hold up, I know
you've done that well, that, you've done that well.
I know your dad, you is well bad, you know, long leave up.
What's that? You're pitching PAP to people to Channel 4, you're saying?
Yeah.
Are you quietly confident? I mean, there's big names in there, aren't there?
Yeah, well, we've got this... we've got someone who's helping us out called Maria Kapinska, and she owns the Jonglers Comedy Club franchise. And she's put us in front of a TV agent who's quite close to a controller at Channel 4, so... She's put it on Channel 4's death. It's been with them for a couple of weeks, and I'm told no news is good news, really, because otherwise they tell you immediately, look, no, we don't want that. But So we're quietly confident that, well, someone's got to take it, you know. I mean, we're looking for people. What I'd ideally like is not Channel 4. I'd ideally like a little, tiny little channel that's just on its way up, a comedy channel that we can sort of, that they can commission this series and we can sort of social network the life out of it. And hopefully bring that channel up somewhere, you know. So we're looking, that's what we're looking for, someone to take a chance with us. Say, right here, look, 10 half-hour episodes, first series, how much do you want to write it? Bang, 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 we'll put it on our little comedy channel and we'll social network it all out, the Twitter, the Facebook, you know. We're,
well, the good thing with the story can go anywhere, can't it? With it is where it's at the moment with the last series. I won't tell you what happened, we won't say what happened in the last series, but it comes to a conclusion where you'll meet up and from there
you can go forward.
So
but what we want to try and do as well, we don't want to be sort of relay as pure working class heroes and things like that, because in series three, in my head, you know, the poison of greed starts seeping into these people as well. The basic natural sort of instinct that is the beast of greed in all us humans, you know. Sooner or later, you become the same as the rest.
Yeah.
Apart from Mickey's character, who tries to stay straight down the line, you know.
Yeah.
With all this adversity going on around him, he's just like, no, we want to, we can do this, you know.
Just turned into a cardboard cutout. I was going to try and get one, put it here, we could have just had it for the picture. A cardboard cutout of Mickey.
Of Jeff, yeah.
So funny.
Let's
talk about funding quickly, because you've at the moment, because you're at the, you've got a couple of small internet ads on top of the series at the moment, for the funding, because obviously you've funded six projects, and so how are you looking at doing the rest? I know you've got the internet products,
yeah,
you can download.
It's so simple. We need a few grand to start to carry on, really, because we're all on the floor ourselves now, because it was all self-funded. And although people, we do films and we do all that, but it's not. People think you're millionaires and people think that, but the state of the industry at the moment, you know, everything's low budget. You can see these movies, nothing high budget is being made. And if it is being made, you know, the majority of people that are getting the jobs are big established actors. You know, you've got Ray Winston and you've got all these people that, and the posh lot, you know, the Cumberpatches, and the things and so really, you know, we just want to go. Our focus is getting this up and running, because we believe that it's something, once the majority and the collectiveness of people unify on this, they'll enjoy it, they'll love it. It's,
they're all going to pile down that pub, what's it called,
Stanley Arms.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be down there, see what it's like.
Yeah, but it's I don't know. People are sort of sceptic around, you know, we're putting our website out, we're putting our YouTube thing out. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's nearly 53,000 people at this.
Yeah, that's good.
This series, you know, in this day and age on social networking sites, because they usually close that amount of people off. You know, 4 years ago, that would have been 400,000 people. You know, so we know there's a market out there. We just need someone to light the fuse, you know what I mean? And the fuse can be lit by a collective state, you know, a collective voice of the people, you know. If once they realise that we're not trying to dupe them in any way, you know, we're not trying to con them in any way, all it is a click of a button.
Yeah.
Even if you don't watch the programme, just click the button and you know, there's millions of people that can just click a button.
It's quite addictive though. Once you've seen the first episode, you want to see the second episode, and each episode takes you along that little journey. You kind of think, oh, I've got to watch the next one. And then when you get to sixth one, the last one, you're kind of wishing, oh, I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah,
to come out.
But Tony, you know, there's a lot of people around that just surf the internet and they hit this and they hit that and hit that. And all we're asking for people to do, the majority of people in England, in the UK, in Scotland, in Wales or wherever, is just click a button, just give us a like as a protest, as whatever.
Well, I'm going to get one of your t-shirts because I like t-shirts. I'm going to wear it down the pub. What's
I've got one in the car. Yeah.
Cool. I'll have one of those. What's let's talk about the website quickly. What's the website called?
The website is www.power2thepeople.tv.
Okay, I'll be putting a link on the show page blog also.
And we've also got a little donate button on it, you know. So if someone wants to give 50p or 20p, it's all PayPal anyway, so it's all secure and everything.
You're on Twitter at A Good Idea.
We're on Twitter at A Good Idea, yeah. But that is spelled A-G-O-O-D.
Yeah.
E-Y-E-D-E-E-R.
That's it. So I've got it here. I'm glad you said it right, and then suddenly it was.
And when you see the logo, I mean, again, we're having problems with website people. You know,
I see that. You're not going to rant about. He was on that.
I'm not going to rant about. I'm not even going to give the silly boy.
Have you sorted that? Is that all sorted now?
Look, it was nothing to sort, really. You know, young boys being young boys and silly and not grown up. You know, so again, I'll end that here.
The series itself, if you're looking to find it, it's obviously on YouTube. You can Google it or just go to YouTube and then type in, it's Power.
Power to the People. That's how it's spelled. Power, P-T-O, the People.
It's the two, isn't it?
No. That's just the website.
Just the website. So it's just Power to the People.
Power to the People in YouTube. If you just put Power to the People, Eddie Webber, it'll all come up.
Yeah, it's quite easy to find. And there's that you can either find the 6 episodes separately, or there's a couple of them bunched together, so they just play.
Well, we've got a company, A Good Idea. If you remember how A Good Idea is spelled, there's a playlist where all 6 are just all there. But if you put Power to the People, Eddie Webber, it'll come up anyway.
Okay. Have you spoke to Layla since she's been out the jungle?
I got a text off her yesterday.
Have you?
Yeah, she's. I think she was laying in the sun at the time and
bless her,
eating a bit of lobster or something.
Do you know what? If you had to go in there and all of you was in there with you, what would be your worst fear?
The jungle?
Yeah, the beetles, the spiders.
No, I couldn't eat a kangaroo's dick.
No, I couldn't.
I couldn't do that.
I couldn't
do that.
Especially
or an emu's bum.
No, not unless you've got a decent dip anyway. Not like you dip it into at least. Do you know what I mean?
A little bit of garlic.
Weird, wouldn't it? Dipped in creamy garlic. God. That would really put you off.
And I don't know how they do it. I really don't know. I mean, you go in there, you've got to challenge yourself, haven't you? And that's the great. I'd love to do the jungle. I'd absolutely love it because just as a challenge, really. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really worried about bugs and snakes. Dogs, that's my phobia, dogs. Yeah. I can't. I'm terrified of dogs, but everything else, I'd smash it.
And she's done well. And it's a strange link because we've got Steve Davis, who's the snooker player, who's here on Phoenix FM, and then Layla, who's been in your series, both in the jungle. So
I mean, there's always 3 degrees of separation somewhere, isn't there, really?
There is.
If you choose to look. But it's, you know, look. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm going to end by putting a tune on. I've got two. I just don't know which one to go with. I'm going to ask the audience here. We've got Spandau Ballet, To Cut a Long Story Short, or Specials, Too Much, Too Young.
Specials. I'll go. Come and look. Cut a Long Story Short.
I've got to go with Eddie because he is the guest.
That was a groundbreaker, wasn't it?
It was,
I said that to Gary Kemp on this film that I've done. I said, you realise that song was the start. You know, remember when they used to wear the kilts and all that? I mean, that was the start of the new romantic.
I slightly cheated because I downloaded all the soundtracks to the printed off all the soundtracks to the movies, so I roughly knew what I was going to be playing. So. Yeah.
No, I think, cut a long story short, but look, the majority say the specials. Yeah.
I'll see if we can squeeze in both. Been great talking to you, Eddie.
And you, Tony. Thank you.
As always, I'll be updating the show page tomorrow. You'll find all that, the links, the full interview, all the links to the page.
Wonderful.
And the series on there. And obviously, I'll send you the audio. You'll be doing the same on
your site. Oh, absolutely. I'll get it out everywhere, mate. Thank you. It's really been a pleasant experience, this, Tony. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. My pleasure.
You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.